Tell the truth. What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, September 9th, 2021. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot to talk about today. It's another busy news day, so we're going to do news until it's time to open up the phone lines. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. And so let's just get right on into it. Well, after Hurricane Ida, it looks like the Gulf Coast and the Eastern Seaboard caught a little bit of a break because Tropical Storm Mindy, which had been building rapidly, is weakening just as rapidly after it crossed the panhandle. It's bringing heavy rain to parts of Georgia and South Carolina. So, you know, it's still a heavy storm, but not as bad as it could have been. Meanwhile, speaking of Ida, the latest counts are 82 people dead in eight states. They're starting to restore power to more than 1 million customers in Louisiana. Some have got their power back on. Not all of them. The work is continuing on that. All righty, getting on into Afghanistan. The Taliban has allowed some 200 people, including 30 Americans, to fly out of Kabul. Now, there had been some finger-pointing back and forth where the State Department was refusing clearance, and, you know, they drew a lot of criticisms for that. And, you know, these are private charter flights that are going on out, and the people who had paid for these charter flights were saying it was the State Department that was getting in the way. And interestingly enough, Jen Psaki tried to defend the State Department blocking the evacuation flights because they couldn't identify the non-Americans on board. And so I think it's a pretty lame excuse, but that's just me. And meanwhile, there was a private email leaked to the media. Again, we reported this, I think, yesterday, confirming the State Department was refusing to grant approval for these flights. So it wasn't the fault of the Taliban. And interestingly enough, a Republican congressman from Tennessee who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, says that unvetted Afghan refugees already have free rein over the Virginia base where they're being housed, and they're able to leave the base in Uber cars and just go wherever they want. And so this idea that the planes were being held on the ground in Kabul because they couldn't identify the people on board really doesn't seem to hold water. Something else was going on here. Meanwhile, nearly 40 Republican members of Congress have sent a letter to President Joe Biden outlining their concerns with the vetting process. They're basically describing it as being rushed and also criticizing it because it's using the same database that has seen the release of migrants wanted for murder. And they botched this one well and truly, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Meanwhile, Biden has sent Congress riders for the upcoming spending bill that includes lifetime welfare and a path to citizenship for all of these unvetted Afghan migrants Biden has randomly flown or will fly into the United States along with their relatives. And this is starting to make the crisis at the southern border look tame in comparison. Meanwhile, this is a bizarre story, and it came from an Investment Watch blog, and it originated with Newsmax. On Wednesday, Newsmax host Heather Childers played audio live on her show of a State Department voicemail from the line that was set up to receive calls from Americans stranded in Afghanistan and trying to return home. And the recording on the voicemail says the line has been disconnected. So, again, just one mess up after the other. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has missed the deadline to provide GOP senators with the exact number of Americans left behind in Afghanistan. This deadline was on Tuesday evening, and it was set by Republican senators who wanted to know the exact number of Americans, green card holders, and special immigrant visa applicants who are still in Afghanistan. And very obviously, the White House still does not know. They do not have that information. So this group of Republicans, led by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, gave Joe Biden until 5 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday to give the public a full, unclassified accounting of who was left behind after the last of the U.S. troops evacuated Kabul back on August 30th. And they also wanted a detailed account of the vetting process of the Afghan refugees who are not SIVs or green card holders, and whether they were evacuated to the U.S. with any pending immigration status. Meanwhile, over in Afghanistan, the Taliban are cracking down on protests. They cracked down hard on the largest protest in Kabul yet, using gunfire, detentions, and beatings to crush dissent over their rule. Scores of Afghan protesters marched through Kabul in the largest demonstration seen since the Taliban basically took over Afghanistan last month. And activists shouted in support of resistance fighters in the holdout province of Panjshir and chanted against Pakistan, which they view as meddling in Afghan affairs. Obviously, they did not get the memo. The Taliban is now in control of the Panjshir Valley. Now, anyway, this is kind of interesting. All of a sudden, at this particular moment, maybe it's just another attempt. Hello, we're getting a missed signal here. Okay, it's better. Maybe it's just another attempt to create a distraction from Afghanistan, but Joe Biden asked 12 officials appointed to Military Service Academy advisory boards by former President Trump to resign or be dismissed. And there was no grace period. They basically said, resign by tonight or we will fire you. And Jen Psaki mentioned this at a White House briefing. Sean Spicer and Kellyanne Conway are refusing to resign. And Sean Spicer says he will sue the Biden administration for kicking him off the board. Now, Jen Psaki insists all of this is justified because none of these Trump appointees tried to prevent the Trump insurrection on January 6th. Well, Trump held a rally, and he didn't say anything about violence or insurrection at the rally, but they're still trying to demonize Donald Trump with this, and they're basically purging the government of anybody who might be sympathetic to Donald Trump as we get closer and closer on the issue of election fraud. Meanwhile, Fox News host Laura Ingraham basically has come out describing Biden as kind of lost in his delusions and missing in action. This is an administration that is great at sound bites and video clips, but not really getting anything done if you look at how badly they botched Afghanistan. Meanwhile, somebody had an interesting comment about this phenomenon that is sweeping the country, people shouting blank Biden or blank you, Biden, at sports stadiums all across the country. And Liz Harrington was out there saying, well, nothing says 81 million votes like, you know, stadium crowds chanting blank you, Joe Biden. And yeah, absolutely right here. Biden's approval rating has now dived into the 30s. And the number of voters who think the United States is going in the right direction is down in the 20s now. So these are really, really bad numbers. And over at Investment Watch blog, they're asking, you know, how could he ever recover? And the answer is he's not going to recover from this. Afghanistan is going to be the defining moment in his presidential legacy. You know, when they build the Biden Presidential Library, there's probably going to be a whole wing about Afghanistan, and the entrance will be bricked up. Okay. Now, House Republicans are very alarmed over the Democrats on this special committee. They've asked 35 tech and telecom companies for all the records of these various Republicans involved in or linked to the riot. They want everything from Donald Trump, his family, Republican members of Congress. It's a fishing expedition. Well, the Republicans are basically doing a tit for tat, and they are now demanding from the same tech companies all of the emails and messages and so forth of the Democrats. So, you know, fishing season is open. What can I tell you here? Now, down in Texas, Governor Abbott is dealing with the backlash of Texas' new heartbeat abortion bill. And he made a speech the other day where he said the focus in Texas was going to be eliminating rape, which sounds like a good idea. Jen Psaki basically tore into him, saying never in the history of the world has anyone been able to eliminate rape. And it's more imperative to protect women's rights. Well, I have a comment about that. What about the father's rights? And what about if you have a man who proposes to a woman with the explicit expectation there's going to be a family, and then once they're married, the woman says, no, my body, my choice, and if you try and divorce me, I will take everything you own. Or she gets pregnant and says, I've decided I'm going to have an abortion because if I have a baby, then I don't get to be the baby anymore. You know, where's the father's say in any of that? You know, I'd like to point that out because that actually did happen to me. And it's one of the reasons why I have a very cool attitude on abortion right now. Meanwhile, the Biden administration says they're going to sue Texas over this new law banning abortions after a heartbeat is detected. Biden called the statute almost un-American. I don't know what grounds they have to sue. This is a states' right issue. And contrary to what we've been hearing from various talking heads, there is no right to abortion enshrined in the Constitution. And again, it's a states' rights issue. And again, Biden may be making a big stink out of this in the hope that we will forget about Afghan what's-it. So anyway, meanwhile, Joe Biden, who apparently has nothing better to do, is out there heading for California next week to campaign for Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom. To try and help save him from the recall efforts. And so he's going to be out there stumping for the governor and to try and save him from the recall, along with all the election fraud, which they've already caught and documented happening. You know, Democratic operatives that had the master key to apartment mailboxes. One has to wonder how they got those, where, you know, they don't have to open up the mailboxes individually. They just swing the whole front open and they grab the absentee ballots and they cart them off here. Meanwhile, Larry Elder, who polls are saying is likely to be the next governor of California if Newsom is in fact recalled, was subject to harassment, if you will. There were protesters, including a woman wearing a gorilla mask, who threw eggs at Larry Elder and actually beat up one of his campaign officials in Venice Beach. Now, Kamala Harris is out there campaigning for Gavin Newsom, and protesters are heckling her as well. So the vice president's coattails aren't what they used to be. What can I tell you here? Kamala Harris is out there claiming that the recall of Governor Newsom is a Republican plot to undermine rights across the country. And, you know, that's kind of weird coming from the Democrats who are trying to take away our right to keep and bear arms, our right to unrestricted freedom of speech, and various things like that. You know, it's not the Republicans who are taking our rights away. It's the Democrats. Okay, we seem to be having a little bit of a mixer problem. I hope that will fix. Okay, there we are. All righty. Anyway, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is launching a comeback tour amid rumors that he may throw his hat into the ring in 2024. And he's going to be delivering a speech tonight at the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California. This is kind of a traditional way station for GOP presidential aspirants. Meanwhile, over in Florida, Ron DeSantis is basically tamping down on speculation that he will run in 2024. DeSantis said, all the speculation about me is purely manufactured. And he's basically says, you know, the idea of him running for the White House is nonsense. So DeSantis is not going to be running. Meanwhile, Trump is going to hold a rally next month at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. It's definitely a pro-Trump audience. He carried that state in 2016 and 2020. And the rally will be held on October 9th at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. This will be Trump's first trip back to the first in the nation caucus state since the 2020 election. So, yeah, he's making all the signs and moves that he is, in fact, going to be running in 2024. All right. A lot of attention being focused on this upcoming rally on September 18th. And this is a rally to protest the treatment of the people who were arrested in the wake of the January 6th protest at the Capitol building, who are being held in what are described as inhumane conditions. They're being held incommunicado. They're not allowed to talk to people. Their lawyers are being harassed. And so they're going to have a protest on the 18th. And I would advise caution because I think it's going to be another setup. And this story here, from Roll Call is saying that violent language online is ramping up. Well, that's probably a result of the various bots the government uses to try and control discussion on the internet. But the police are going to reinstall that Capitol fence ahead of the rally. And so I have to tell you, I smell a setup coming, and I am hoping that the organizers of this rally will make sure that none of their people go into the Capitol buildings, that the only people who go into the Capitol building will be the Antifa and FBI undercover informants, agents provocateurs, whatever, who certainly will not be arrested, thereby underscoring the unfair treatment of the people who were arrested after January 6th. Okay, down in Arizona, Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers has waded in on the shocking numbers revealed by the canvassing operation in Maricopa County. You know, there are 299,493 impacted votes, and she is now saying the Maricopa County must be decertified. And she is joined by the Arizona candidate for Secretary of State, Mark Finchem. He is saying, I call on Arizona to decertify the election of 2020 and recall the electors. We have a duty to act. And he's specifically pointing at the 96,000 ghost votes. Now, a ghost vote is a vote by somebody other than the person who was supposed to use that ballot. Usually when you have dead people voting, that's where they get the term ghost votes here. Seth Keschel, talking about the canvassing results, is saying this is a serious human rights violation and a lack of equal protection under the law. It's also criminal fraud, to be very honest. Okay, and over in Georgia, they are now realizing that an estimated 27,000 mail-in ballots in Georgia were returned as undeliverable by the post office during the 2020 election. And that number is more than double the margin of victory by which Biden claimed the state. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
Welcome back to our show here, and this is the part of the program where I remind you all that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your ongoing support to keep doing what we're doing here. And the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can do a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, if you mail in a donation of $100 or more, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt. So please include a return address, and if you want the t-shirt, we need your t-shirt size. The network thanks you. Alrighty, now then, in just about half an hour, maybe a little more because he's always late on these things, Joe Biden is going to give a speech about his new strategy to fight the COVID pandemic. And it's already leaking out some of what he's going to do. He's going to require all federal employees and government contractors to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Now, so far, the White House has been exempt from this. I would like to point out. But Biden will sign an executive order that applies to millions who work for the U.S. government. And he's going to lay out new steps schools and workplaces can take to mitigate the spread of the virus. And frankly, his so-called new strategy looks an awful lot like the old strategy. He's just coming on out to flap his gums at us and act like he's trying to take care of things. And again, he's trying to distract us all from Afghanistan. He wants us to forget that. You know, you will forget Afghanistan. You will forget Afghanistan. So the Biden administration will call on every school in the United States to set up regular COVID-19 testing for students, teachers, and staff. They're going to utilize $10 billion Congress set aside for this purpose last April. That was never used. Now, this is going to put a huge burden on the staffing at those schools. It's certainly going to be annoying to the students. And, if we don't stand up to this right now, we're going to be where Australia is. And they're in a very, very dark place right now. Meanwhile, over at the Supreme Court, they've decided that COVID really isn't that much of a danger anymore, and they're going back to in-person arguments. Now, since March of 2020, when the COVID scare was first starting up, the Supreme Court was hearing their arguments by teleconferencing and by phones. And they've decided, no, it's time to actually have people come into the court and argue before the bench. Story coming on out of newstarget.com. There is a new published peer-reviewed science paper that shows exactly how ivermectin blocks viral replication of COVID-19. Now, the corporate media and the FDA still want you to think that ivermectin is nothing more than horse paste that has no legitimate use in humans. The fact is, FDA approved ivermectin for use in humans back in, I think it was 1996. The people who discovered ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for it. So, you know, this is not like some fringe, quack medicine stuff out there. Anyway, the paper was published in the journal Future Virology and explains that ivermectin contains binding efficacy against key proteins in the COVID-19 pathogenesis. So ivermectin might just be the remedy that puts the end to the pandemic if only people were allowed to use it. But of course, a one-time cure does not fit the business model of the modern medical industrial complex. The business model there is constant treatments and constant vaccines to turn us all into a dependable, reliable revenue stream. Oddly enough, as we reported yesterday, the Afghan refugees coming into this country are being given a course of ivermectin to make sure they're not bringing more COVID into the country than is already here. Now, over the last week, there was this debate going on over in Ohio where there was this COVID patient in a hospital, and he wanted the ivermectin, and the hospital said no. So the family went to the court, and they got a judge to say, yes, if that's what the patient wants, the hospital has to administer it. Then another judge said, no, absolutely not. You will get the approved, high profit markup treatments for COVID-19. The issue is now moot. This patient, who was an American war veteran, has now passed away while the courts sort of diddle back and forth over what was going to go on here. All righty. Okay, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Shh. standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Wall Street wizards on the lam, from a mental institution, claim private retirement funds. Yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the piper when all the money's gone?
Welcome back to our show here, and skipping on back to Biden's upcoming speech, which is about a half hour away here. Word is just now coming on out that he is going to order all private companies in the United States to mandate vaccinations for their employees. And frankly, Biden can't do that. He doesn't really have the authority. An executive order is an order by the president that affects the federal government, and specifically the executive branch only. And so he's definitely exceeding his authority, and we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, the big revelation this last week was that document dump over at The Intercept, some 900 pages proving that, yes, indeed, Anthony Fauci and the United States were funding this illegal gain-of-function research at these laboratories in China. And so Fauci basically lied under oath before Congress. And he's trying to weasel his way out of it, saying, well, it's technically not exactly the definition of gain of function, but nobody's buying it. Tom Cotton is demanding Fauci be prosecuted for his lies. And, yeah, we're talking perjury and we're talking jail time. And I think Fauci would look good, you know, one of those day-glow orange prison jumpsuits that they have here. Now, CNN and MSNBC interviewed Fauci this week. Neither of them asked about this document dump over at The Intercept and what it means. So they're still carrying water for the pharmaceutical industries. And also Jen Psaki. Because she was giving a press conference, and Newsmax's Emerald Robinson asked about Fauci funding of the Chimeric coronaviruses in Wuhan, and Psaki just basically left the podium at that point. So anyway, down in Florida, a judge has once again overruled Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order banning school mask mandates. In this ongoing battle over mask mandates between DeSantis and school districts in the states. And over at United Airlines, you know, they previously had required all employees must be vaccinated. And now they're telling the staff who were granted religious exemptions, they are now on indefinite unpaid leave. So you want to talk about coercion here. Meanwhile, 200,000 unvaccinated military members have been denied a temporary restraining order as commanders threaten those who refuse the COVID-19 vaccines. And unfortunately, when you are in military service, the attitude is that they can do whatever they want to do with you. And there have been many cases in the past where experimental drugs have been tested on military service people. And that's one of the possible origins of Gulf War syndrome that the government tried to say, oh, it's just it's their imagination. It's all in their heads. They're not really suffering from anything. They're just malingerers here. So Biden is out there talking about booster shots and, you know, for Moderna and Pfizer. And the White House is saying that boosters for the Johnson & Johnson shot are likely on their way. But, you know, the plans aren't publicly revealed, and a federal health official says we don't actually know that there is a booster for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and the people who got the J&J are kind of being left high and dry. We have no idea what we should be telling them. So, anyway... down in Australia, I mean, if in fact this whole COVID scare is to get the world used to, hard hobnail boot dictatorship, Australia is definitely leading the way. Australia is going to lock unvaccinated people out of the economy, which means they will not be able to buy food. They will not be able to work with which to buy the food. They're literally going to be made homeless and starving, and that is very coercive. And now the one Australian official is saying that, you know, if you are caught outside your home without being vaccinated, you will not be allowed to return to your home until you get the shot. Now, a lot of people are in lockdown in Australia. And now Australia has decided they're going to, in the name of public health, limit how much alcohol is being delivered to private homes by the delivery services. And apartment blocks subject to lockdown measures in New South Wales, which is where Sydney is located, they're now being monitored by the government's health agency, and they're having their alcohol deliveries policed. Anything above the government set limit is being confiscated. I mean, that really, that's tyranny. If I know the Australians, that's really going to annoy them here. Meanwhile, up in Vermont, three state troopers have resigned as the FBI looks into accusations that these men made counterfeit COVID-19 vaccination cards. And the state's governor is shaking fists and kicking tables and saying this will not go unpunished. Okay, now the World Health Organization has now released a plan for a global digital vaccine passport system that is being funded by, no surprise, Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation. And they're already out there pushing for you to put your vaccine passports on your smartphones as part of your little wallet thing there. All righty. Now, a little bit of a slip up. Down in Australia, State Premier Gladys Berejiklian was giving a press conference about the measures they're doing to fight COVID, and she was talking about contact tracing and actually said, and yes, there is video of it, she said, contact tracing is part of the new world order. So there, you know, all those people who said that anybody talking about the New World Order was a conspiracy theorist, which apparently includes George Herbert Walker Bush, who first popularized the term. But this contact tracing and knowing who's talking to who, that's part of the New World Order. Talk about, this even goes beyond what George Orwell was predicting. Meanwhile, the CDC has added two popular island getaways to the very high COVID-19 travel risk list. And this is Jamaica in the Caribbean and Sri Lanka in South Asia. They're now considered among the highest risk destinations for travelers. And also joining the list during the global swell of Delta variants is Brunei on the island of Borneo. And they're having a real problem out in Hawaii. I hope that doesn't get put on the list because Hawaii depends on tourism. And without tourism, they're in big problem. Meanwhile, they're over at the corporate media, they're banging the Mu variant drum to try and keep the fear going in preparation for new lockdowns, new mask mandates, new vaccine mandates. And as we pointed out the other day, none of the tests for COVID currently in use can differentiate against the variants. It takes a molecular analysis, a very time-consuming and expensive process, to identify a different variant. Obviously, in the laboratory, you can spend that time and money to say, oh, we have a new variant. But in terms of saying what patients have Delta and what patients have got the Mu variant, the current tests won't reveal that. They're simply saying anybody who gets COVID despite being vaccinated, oh, it must be the Delta variant, you know, because the Delta variant came along after we had the vaccinations. And so it just makes common sense. They've got the Delta variant here. Getting to the international news, and it seems like the United States has failed to learn anything from past military interventions. Vietnam, we didn't learn from that. We didn't learn from Syria or Iraq, and we certainly didn't learn from Afghanistan. Now, as you're already aware, there was recently a military overthrow of the democratically elected president of Guinea. And video has now surfaced showing that the military that overthrew the democratically elected government were being aided by U.S. special forces, and they were led by an Israeli-trained colonel. So, another day, another war, another mess up there. In that same part of the world, Africa, U.S. special envoy to the Horn of Africa, Jeffrey Feltman, recently returned from a tour of Ethiopia, Djibouti, and the United Arab Emirates. On the following Monday, the State Department issued a statement that it had imposed sanctions on Eritrean Defense Forces Chief of Staff General Philippos Waldeyohannes. Several days later, the UN Security Council met yet again about the Ethiopian civil war. And so the U.S. is escalating the threats to Ethiopian and Eritrean sovereignty. And, they failed to get the natural resources out of Afghanistan despite being there for 20 years. Now they're going after Africa, which is the world's largest stockpile of undeveloped mineral wealth left on the planet. So it is a huge prize, and that's why everybody is suddenly interested in it. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is saying that the U.S. is getting closer to giving up on the Iran nuclear deal, which, of course, is what Israel has been lobbying for because the existence of an Iran nuclear deal makes starting a war with Iran that much more difficult. And people in Israel are saying, yeah, they're ramping up their plans to take military action in Iran. They want to go on in and, you know, blow up their reactor. And it's worth remembering that when Israel blew up the Osirik nuclear power station in Iraq, Israel justified it, saying there was a bomb factory underneath the reactor, the same as Israel has under that reactor in Dimona. And following the invasion of Iraq, a team of international experts examined the ruins of the Osirak nuclear power station, and they found a nuclear power station. And that was it. Anyway. All right. Beijing is ramping up drills and clearly a focus on potentially seizing Taiwan. And, you know, with our defeat in Afghanistan, China is probably feeling like, well, you know, the United States really isn't in a position to interfere. The American people certainly don't want any more war. And China has already warned Taiwan, you can't count on the United States. Afghanistan proved that. All right. Getting into the economic news, prices are going up. And the Biden administration came up with this really absurd idea to sort of make it seem like it wasn't a big deal. They said, you know, if you take out beef, pork, and poultry, you know, then the price increases are more in line with historical norms. And there was another part of the same conference where they were saying, well, you know, if you take out, you know, food and fuel and other life essentials, then the rate of inflation really isn't that bad. That's really, really getting silly out there. So the White House is blaming the beef, pork, and poultry industries for 50% of grocery store price increases and has announced a crackdown on meatpacking pandemic profiteering. And we'll see about that here. Meanwhile, over 80% of the oil output in the Gulf of Mexico is still offline a week after Hurricane Ida. Gas prices are soaring despite OPEC's increasing their output to the world market, not necessarily to the United States here. Meanwhile, the vaping industry is waiting breathlessly, if you will, for a major decision from the FDA. Now, the FDA has, for a very long time, strictly regulated conventional tobacco products, cigarettes, cigars, pipe tobacco, things like that. But the vaping industry has kind of sort of skated along without a lot of examination, and it's allowed the industry to just enjoy tremendous boom times. The industry as a whole is $6 billion in size, led by Juul, which controls about 40% of the market. And decisions by the FDA could impact almost all of that. And about 6.5 million products made by more than 500 companies are now under evaluation about whether they are appropriate for the protection of the public health. And I'm sure their solution is going to be, well, we need to tax them more. You know, we'll let you have alcohol and tobacco and vaping and even marijuana as long as you pay the tax on it. Over at Coinbase, the CEO has lashed out at the SEC, saying the agency plans to sue the company over an interest-earning lending product for reasons that really don't seem to be clear. And the product is not even out yet. It's still weeks away from its launch. And so Coinbase is very upset about that. Over at American Express, five current and former employees of American Express had to speak anonymously to keep their jobs for the ones still there, told Fox Business that the credit card company is practicing reverse discrimination in that it's singling out black people for a promotion and, you know, toward, you know, lower interest rates and attracting them to use the Amex card. And the employees say this is obviously reverse discrimination against their white customers. And they said they basically went public because they brought this situation to the attention of American Express management and were basically ignored. Meanwhile, Democrats are floating a tax on investments to help pay for the $3.5 trillion budget plan. They're realizing that the middle class America just really doesn't have that much left to tax, and so they're casting around for other opportunities. They want to reverse Donald Trump's tax cuts on small businesses. But, you know, wherever they increase taxes, it all trickles down to the American people. Okay? Wealth trickles up, debt trickles down. Rivero's Law of Economics. We had to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. Decorated soldier. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man.
Welcome back to our show here. We're still talking about the economic news. And there is a story coming on out of Investment Watch blog about how the Fed president is buying millions in stocks, specifically in companies like Apple and Microsoft. Now, right now, the stock market is soaring very high. The politicians are pointing to that as a banner that we're in an economic recovery. But it looks like the soaring stock market is being manufactured simply by buying a bunch of stocks with instantly created money. And what they're doing is they're blowing a giant bubble, and all bubbles will eventually pop. That's going to happen here as well. But when they talk about these wonderfully successful companies like Microsoft and Apple, they're being propped up by the Federal Reserve here. Meanwhile, and we mentioned this, I think, about 2 weeks ago, China has now opened a new container shipping port in Israel. China is definitely a global economic power now. And they're running around the world making deals while the U.S. is running around the world making war. I'm in favor of the former approach. I believe in peace through commerce here. Getting into political correctness and wokeism, over at Iowa State, they have a training document that's being given out to team leaders. It says privileged people include Christians, whites, and men, and heterosexuals especially. It's not mandated that this manual be used, but it's still very, very concerning that they're still thinking like this at these universities here. Now, we have been talking about the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee in Richmond, Virginia. Interestingly enough, underneath the statue was a time capsule buried there in 1887 that was removed and replaced. And the new time capsule is full of Black Lives Matter and LGBT propaganda. That's probably going to upset a lot of people. The justification for emptying the old time capsule was that it contained artifacts related to the Confederacy. So they got rid of that, they've got like an expired vial of COVID vaccine in there and all the rest of it. Okay, over in Reno, Nevada, and this happened last February, but it's making news now. This idea of civil forfeiture was originally created to be able to take the wealth from criminals who had earned that wealth through criminal enterprises. But it is being abused by police in what is being called policing for profit. In Reno, Nevada, there was this guy, Stephen Lara, was stopped by the police, and they wound up basically stealing his life savings. He was never charged with a crime, but they just basically destroyed his life and ran off laughing into the sunset, I guess. All right, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252. Please call on in. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.